So now it's the right time to understand what exactly is GST. GST means goods and service tax. It's an indirect tax levied on supply of goods and service. So the important factor that will decide whether GST would be levied or not, that important factor is the supply. And that supply has to be of goods and service. So in the subsequent slides, we are also going to understand what is a good, what is a service. And only then, if it is a supply, GST would be levied. We are also going to understand, even though there is a supply of goods of services, there will be certain goods and services which are exempted from paying GST. So which are these goods and services which are exempted? Which are the goods and services which attract the nil tax rate? That also we are going to understand in this units of GST. Now, when we talked about GST, One Nation, One Tax, I had already told you there were so many types of indirect taxes existed in India before enactment of GST. So one big aspect of GST is all those taxes which are existing before GST, or the major taxes which existed before GST, has been replaced and brought under one act, that is GST. That is what we call the subsumption. And this subsumption has happened both of the central taxes as well as the state taxes. So that is why the new GST has become very simpler, and we don't have to go through the processes, the compliances of the numerous GST act or indirect acts laws that were existed before the enactment of GST. Now, according to the Goods and Service Tax Act 2017, GST means tax on supply of goods or services or both. Now note this very carefully, except taxes on supply of alcoholic liquor for human consumption and petroleum products. So these are the two categories which we will understand later. And for now, as for the definition of GST under the GST Act 2017, taxes are not levied, GST is not levied on alcoholic liquor for human consumption and petroleum product. Any other goods and services besides alcoholic liquor for human consumption and petroleum products, the GST would be levied on supply of goods or services or both. Now we have got a proper definition of GST as per the GST Act 2017. We have understood the GST in general terms, and now we are going to understand the different features, important features, the salient features of this GST Act. The first important feature of GST is GST is a consumption-based tax. What do we mean by consumption-based tax? As we saw before, GST tax was levied at a time of manufacture. Now the tax is levied not at the time of manufacture, but at the time of consumption. So whoever consumes the product, whoever consumes a good or service, he is going to pay the tax. And hence we say GST is a consumption-based tax, ultimately borne by the end consumer of a good or service. Now, as I said, when we talk about GST, GST is levied on supply of goods and service. We will understand what is supply, what is goods, what is service. Now we are going to understand what exactly is the meaning of goods. Goods simply means every kind of movable property. There are certain inclusions, there are certain exclusions. So what does this movable property include? Actionable claims, growing crops, grass, and things attached to or forming part of the land. So now our definition of goods becomes very easy. Goods means every kind of movable property, including actionable claims, growing crops, grass, and things attached to or forming part of the land. However, the goods does not include securities and money, because we are having separate acts for that, and that's the reason the definition of goods has very specific inclusions and specific exclusions. So from a student point of view, you have to get this definition of good, because when we are going to actually compute GST on various goods and services, we have to first understand what type of good you are going to compute tax for, what kind of service you are going to compute tax for, what are the inclusions in the definition, what are the exclusions in the definition. Having understood what is a good, now let us understand what is a service. Service includes activities relating to the use of money, because when we talk in terms of supply, the supply transaction happens for a consideration. That consideration is almost every time a money, or its conversion for consideration. So money can be converted in the form of whatever kind. So service includes activities relating to the use of money or its conversion for consideration. So these are the two important definitions. When we talk about GST, I said supply we are going to cover separately. For now, we have understood what is a good and what is a service. Now, a special feature of goods and service, as I said, it took about 17 years for rolling out the enactment of GST. Lots of discussions, deliberations happened, because some states were going to lose, some states were going to earn. So for bringing everything together and to see that the act got rolling, there were certain entities created which had neutrality and which could ensure a seamless implementation of GST across the country in all the states and union territories. So one of these entities that was created for the first time under the GST law was the GST Council, Goods and Service Tax Council, properly known as the GSTCC. So Goods and Service Tax Council, GSTC, was constituted to ensure harmonization on different aspects of GST between the center and the states. And when we say ensure harmonization on different aspects of GST between the center and the states, how can this happen? When there are representatives from both the central and the state government. So who are the members of this GSTC? The Union Finance Minister. Union Finance Minister is the chairperson of the GSTC, and along with him, there are members of state revenue as well as the state finance ministers. So we have a beautiful composition of members from both the central government and the state government, and hence this ensures neutrality, this ensures harmonization on different aspects of GST between the center and the states. Now, it's not just an entity, but it has certain rules to be followed. The first important rule is a quorum. The quorum in GSTC should be one half of the total number of members of GST. As we saw, so many states are there, so many union territories there in our country. So whenever there is a meeting of GSTC, there has to be at least one half of the total number of members of GSTC. Even though there is one half of the total number of members of GSTC, there is a process in which the decision can be taken. There has to be a majority of not less than 3/4 of the weighted votes cast. Who has the power to vote? Both the center and the state. And when we talk in terms of majority of not less than 3/4 of the weighted votes cast, the center and minimum of 20 states will be required for the majority. So no one can gang up and make a majority. There has to be a combination of votes received from the center and 20 states, and the majority should be at least 3/4, and then only a decision can be taken in a GSTC. Now, who has how much weight or percentage of vote? That has also been very clearly specified. The center would have 1/3 weightage of the total votes cast, and the states taken together would have the 2/3. So 2/3 weightage with the states, 1/3 with the center. Majority, at least 3/4 of the weighted votes cast. So this clarity on quorum, decision making, and who has what percentage of weight is also very clearly specified for the GSTC, that is the Goods and Service Tax Council. Now, what are the main functions of GSTC? Number one and the most important is to make recommendations to the union and state governments on the details of goods and services that will be subject to GST, as to which goods and services would be taxed, which would be exempted, for which there would be nil rates, which there will be maximum rates. So all these are recommended. So it is not coming out either from the state government or the union government. No one can manipulate or alter the rates unless the GSTC recommends. Second important rate is the GST rate. The third important is the threshold limit. When we talk about threshold limit, the suppliers, if their transaction crosses certain threshold, only then they would be required to register and pay GST. So the taxpayer has to cross. Who decides what is the threshold limit? The GST Council. Then the taxes should be subsumed. As I said, there are so many central taxes and state taxes before GST. GST Council recommended as to which taxes needs to be subsumed, and that brought under one GST and make it more simplified and make it as one nation, one tax. And another important recommendation that can be made by the GSTC is make special provisions for certain states. So when we see there are certain North Indian states, Northeast India. So like Assam, Mizoram, Manipur, Sikkim, Arunachal Pradesh, these people are given special provisions when we as far as the GST implementation is concerned. So what are the special provisions that are made for these northeastern states of our country? We are going to see that also when we come to the specific slide. Some more functions of the GSTC is to make recommendations to union and state on determination of place of supply. Because when we talk about supply, we have seen intrastate and interstate. So on what basis this supply would be decided, whether it is interstate or intrastate, that is also recommended by GSTC. Then apportionment of revenue of IGST and CGST among union and states. So when we talk in terms of supply of goods and services from one state to another, IGST would be levied. And if IGST is levied, then how the revenue that is created because of IGST would be apportioned between the center and the states, so that the states would not end up losing on revenue, and uniformity of revenue collection for the central government and the state government would be meant. And finally, the recommendation on compensation to the states for the loss of revenue for a period of 5 years. So this has been actually provided, that is from 2017, for a period of 5 years, the compensation to the states if at all they lose revenue because of implementation of GST would be provided to the loss of revenue making states by the government. So these are the major recommendations that are made by the GSTC. Now when we talk in terms of the coordination between the central government and the state government, in keeping with the federal structure of India, GST is levied concurrently by the central government and state government. When it comes to levy of GST by the central government, we call it as a CGST. When it comes to state government, we call it as a GST. So both the CGST and SGST are levied concurrently, keeping with the federal structure of India, especially when the transaction is a intrastate supply. Intrastate supply means supply of goods and services within the same state. The base and other essential features is common between CGST and SGST, almost a replica of one another. However, when we talk in terms of levy, we call it as CGST for central government, SGST for state government. As I said before, CGST and SGST is levied on the basis of destination principle. Now we'll take an example to understand what is the meaning of this CGST and SGST is levied on a destination principle. Destination principle means the GST will be paid by the consumer who uses the goods and services and not by the manufacturer or the subsequent distributors. For example, goods that are manufactured in Maharashtra, however, they are sold to the final consumer in Karnataka. So now destination principle brings to the focus the final consumer in Karnataka. So GST, since it is levied at the time of consumption, the entire tax revenue will go to Karnataka and not Maharashtra, because GST is levied on destination principle. So this is how the transaction happening. This is a specific example of an interstate, that is supply of goods from one state to another. The destination state will actually collect the revenue from this transaction. Now we saw there were various central and state acts that were subsumed under GST. What do you mean by subsumption? A large number of central and state tax which were felt as irrelevant, which were felt as actually duplication, which were felt as time consuming, which were felt as more administrative, were actually taken out of the indirect tax and brought in a refreshing form under the GST. There are large number of central and state acts which were there. We have seen these were identified by the GST Council, and the major idea was to convert them into one powerful indirect tax system, that is GST. And the dual GST implemented in India subsumed many consumption tax. So no state can say that this is our tax, we have to levy, or central will say this is our tax. So both various taxes from the state side, from the central side, were literally removed, and the provisions which are essential for the indirect tax levy were brought under the GST. So this is why the subsumption of tax was necessary, and this subsumption of tax removed the multiplicity of tax levies. It reduced the effect of cascading tax. It reduced the overall tax burden on goods and services. It allowed free flow of large pool of tax credits to both central and state level. It also provided seamless credit and made way for a common market. So this was a masterstroke when we talk about implementation of GST. It had removed serious problems in the previous indirect tax system, and it had made it more simpler. It had made the products cheaper than what they existed simply by reducing the cascading effect, and it had actually allowed a free flow of larger pool of tax credit and provided seamless credit and made way for a common market. So this was the basic idea why subsuming of taxes. So which were the taxes that were subsumed? In this slide, we are going to see the central tax subsumed. In the next slide, we are going to see the state tax that were subsumed. Under the central tax subsumed in GST, the first come is the central excise duty, then the additional excise duties, the excise duty levied under the Medicinal and Toilet Preparation Excise Duty Act 1955, service tax, additional customs duty, commonly known as the countervailing duty, special additional duty of customs, surcharges and cesses levied by the center. So far they relate to the supply of goods and services. So these were the main central taxes subsumed under GST. Central excise, additional excise, excise duty under medicinal and toilet preparation, service tax, additional customs duty, special additional tax, surcharges and cesses, and we will see there are some goods and services on which the excise duty is still levied. So which are these, we will see in the subsequent, but largely all these central taxes has been subsumed under GST. which were the state taxes that were substituted on GST? First comes the VAT, the sales tax, entertainment tax, the luxury tax, taxes on the lottery, betting, gambling, state cesses and surcharges so far as they relate to the supply of goods and services, the octroi and the entry tax, the purchase tax, the tax on advertisements, the CST. So these were the major state taxes that were subsumed. So you see in the previous slide and this slide, there were not just one or two, but a large number of taxes from both the central side and the state side that were subsumed into GST. And the GST has been having the provisions of tax from a social angle, not from the exploitation angle, and it has made it very easy and simple for the SSE to comply and pay tax on the supply of goods and services. Now, having understood the various taxes that were subsumed on the central side as well as state side, there were certain taxes which were not to be subsumed. For example, number one was the basic customs duty. These are protective duties levied at the time of import of goods into India. The second tax which is not to be subsumed are the exports duty. This is a duty that is imposed at the time of export of certain goods which are not available in India in abundance. The third tax not to be subsumed is the road and passenger tax. These are in the nature of tax or the fees, not in the nature of taxes on goods and services. And the fourth tax, which are not to be subsumed, is the toll tax. These are in the nature of user fees and not in the nature of tax on goods and services. So the four types of taxes which are not to be subsumed are the basic customs duty, the export duty, the road and passenger tax, and the toll tax. So one has to keep this in mind when one actually goes into details of GST computation and payment of tax. So friends, having understood this basic definition of GST, the goods and services, the subsumption of tax from the central and the state, and finally, which fees or taxes are not to be subsumed, now we are going to understand more details about GST in the form of salient features. And these salient features are going to make you understand the entire GST in the form of points. So let us understand these salient features of GST. The first important feature of GST is GST is applicable on supply of goods or services or both in India, except taxes on supply of alcoholic liquor for human consumption and petroleum products. So that is the first important feature which actually tells us, describes us, GST is applicable on what. Second important feature is GST is based on the principle of destination-based consumption tax, which we have already seen in the previous slide. That is, tax is payable in the state where goods or services or both are finally consumed. The third important feature, CGST and SGST will be levied in intrastate. Here the location of supply becomes very important. We have seen whenever it is an intrastate supply means goods and services are supplied within the state, then CGST and SGST will be levied concurrently. An integrated GST, that is IGST, will be levied on interstate supply. When we talk about interstate supply, it is supply of goods and services from one state to another, and it includes the transfers, the stock transfers of, and this is more specifically to see when it is in terms of interstate supply. The next important feature of GST is no GST on exports. So government is encouraging the exporters to export more goods and services because there is no GST on exports. The next important feature is import of goods and services will be treated as interstate supply. When we talk about interstate supply, automatically IGST would be levied, and in addition to IGST, the basic customs duty, the education cess, secondary and higher education cess, GST compensation cess would be applicable on the import of goods and services. So that is an absolute clarity as to which GST would be levied when it comes to import of goods and services, and what type of supply would be considered. It would be considered as interstate supply, and it would not only be levied IGST, but in addition to IGST, various other duties such as the basic customs duty, the education cess, secondary and higher education cess, GST compensation cess would also be applicable. Another special treatment on the SEZ. When we call in talk in terms of SEZ, goods sold to any SEZ, no tax would be levied while purchasing goods from goods from SEZ involves. So no tax, goods sold to any SEZ, no tax will be levied while purchasing goods from SEZ involves IGST. So whenever there is a purchase, IGST, whenever goods sold, no tax will be collected. So tax treatment on SEZ is also very clarified. Goods sold to any SEZ, no tax will be collected. While purchasing goods from SEZ, IGST would be levied. Another feature, a common threshold exemption would apply to both CGST and SGST. When we talk about a common threshold exemption, that means when there is a supply of goods and services below this common threshold, no GST. However, the moment your turnover exceeds this threshold exemption, then GST would be levied. Such supplier will have to get themselves registered and pay GST. So what is this common threshold? Taxpayers with an annual turnover of rupees 20 lakhs. This is excluding certain category as specified under Article 279A of Constitution, that is Himachal Pradesh, Uttarakhand, these are exempted from GST. So whenever taxpayer with an annual turnover of rupees 20 lakhs for special categories specified in Articles 279 of Constitution is exempt from GST. However, in case of a person who is engaged in exclusive supply of goods, this limit of 20 lakhs has been increased to 40 lakhs with effect from 1st of April 2019. So this is a common threshold limit as far as the taxpayers in general are concerned. Taxpayers with an annual turnover of 20 lakhs and when we talk in terms of those who are exclusively engaged in supply of goods, up to 40 lakhs. And what will be the rate of tax? The rate of tax will be determined by the GST Council. So both threshold limits and GST rates are decided by the GST Council. Generally, the threshold limit is set and continues for a certain period, but the rates of GST may change over a period of time based on the decisions taken by the GST Council. The next important feature of GST is GST will apply to all goods and services except alcohol for human consumption. In that case, sales tax would be levied instead of GST, and petroleum products, central tax will continue instead of GST. So when we talk in terms of petroleum products, this can be petroleum, crude, high natural gas, aviation turbine fuel. So this is a special treatment for certain category of goods and services. Otherwise, GST will apply to all goods and services. When it comes to tobacco products will be subject to excise duty plus GST. So tobacco products has again a special treatment because both excise duty and customs GST would be levied on tobacco products. And in addition, the GST compensation cess will be payable on tobacco products, pan masala, coal, aerated waters and motor cars. So one has to keep these specific provisions in mind whenever any tax in the form of GST or in addition to GST, certain additional taxes are to be levied. Another important feature of GST is a compounding option. What do you mean by compounding option? A taxpayer can pay a tax at a flat rate. However, here he won't be eligible for any credits. And this is specifically provided to small tax payers, including specified category of manufacturers and service providers having an annual turnover up to rupees 75 lakhs. So for small taxpayers, those who are having annual turnover up to 75 lakhs, they have an option to go for compounding, under which they can pay tax at a flat rate, which is slightly lesser than the other rates. Credit of GST paid on the inputs will be used only for paying CGST on the output. So we'll actually see the rules of set off in specific slide of the adjustment of the credits from GST in the form of CGST, SGST, IGST in a particular order in the subsequent slides. The credit of SGST, UTST paid on the inputs may only be used for paying. So this is one exception where you don't have a chance to set off against any other. So credit of SGST or UTGST paid on inputs may be used only for paying SGST and UTGST, and they cannot be paid otherwise. That order we'll also see in the set off slide for the ITC. Now, input tax credit set off GST liability has certain rules to be followed. Throughout the value chain, businesses and consumers pay GST on their purchases. When we talk about value chain, it can start from the manufacturer to the distributors. It can be wholesale distributors to the retail distributors, and finally, it comes to the consumer. So this is the entire value chain. In this process, there can be more value additions in that process also. So every aspect of value would be considered for levy of GST, but as far as possible, double taxation would be avoided. So this avoidance of double taxation happens by advantage of input tax credit. So throughout the value chain, businesses and consumers pay GST on their purchases. However, if the purchase was made by a business for a sale to a customer, then the business can claim input tax credit to set off the GST liability. So this setting off of GST liability ensures a smooth credit flow for the supplier. Thus, through the use of input tax credit mechanism, the GST liability, though paid by the supplier or the manufacturer initially, is ultimately pushed down to the end consumer. And that is how the input tax credit set off facility helps the supplier to get the funds which he might have paid initially for payment of GST, and subsequently it is transferred to the ultimate end user. Now, when we talk about setting off of the credit which we get in the form of input credit, as I said before, there are certain rules that has to be followed for setting off the balance of credit available. The credit is permitted to be utilized in specific manner only. For example, the input tax credit of CGST allowed first for the payment of CGST, and if something remains, then it can be adjusted for payment of IGST in that order. One important point one has to note here, CGST cannot be used for the payment of SGST or UTGST. So ITC credit of CGST can only be utilized for first payment of CGST, and if anything remains, then it can be used for the payment of IGST. The second rule of set off, just like CGST cannot be utilized for payment of SGST, SGST cannot be utilized for payment of CGST. So what is the rule for SGST? ITC of SGST allowed for payment of SGST first, and then if anything remains, it can be utilized for payment of IGST. This is the order to be followed. So the order for CGST and SGST is very clear. Likewise, the order for UTGST is also very easy to understand. ITC of UTGST allowed for payment of UTGST first, and if anything remains, then for IGST in that order. So we have understood utilization of ITC for CGST, SGST as well as UTGST. Now we come to the final point of ITC of IGST. Note this very carefully. The ITC of IGST is allowed for payment of IGST first, and if anything remains, can also be utilized for CGST, SGST as well as UTGST in that order. So ITC of IGST has more utilization facility. It can be utilized for IGST first, and if anything remains, it can be utilized for CGST and SGST or UTGST in that order. So this slide is very important for you all to understand how the ITC can be utilized, what are the rules for utilization of ITC, whether it is your CGST, whether it is your SGST, whether it is your UTGST or your IGST. ITC of CGST cannot be used for the payment of SGST, UTGST and vice versa. We have already understood this. The next important salient features of GST are: GST Council is the apex constitutional body which will determine the policies of GST. So for actually establishing a GST Council, a separate constitutional amendment was required and has been done. So we'll look about this constitutional amendments later in some other slides. Right now, and when we talk about a salient feature, we have seen GST Council has been established as an apex constitutional body. We have seen the powers and functions of the GST Council. Taxpayers can make payment through various modes. So as far as the comfort and convenience are concerned, you don't have to go and pay your cash physically or only through checks. The taxpayers can make the tax payment through various modes, such as your internet banking, your debit card or a credit card, and even through your NEFT or RTGS, that is National Electronic Fund Transfer, and the real-time cross settlement. The next important feature of GST is GST is payable when supply is made or when payment is received, whichever is earlier. So there can be numerous incidents based on the type of supply. Sometimes the supply is made, or sometimes the payment is first made and supply is made subsequently. So here the rule is GST is payable when supply is made or when payment is received, whichever is earlier. So whichever it comes earlier, GST becomes leviable. GST of the current month is payable by 20th of the following month. So this rule has to be followed by the supplier, else you will have to face the penalty and also will have to pay the interest on it. However, a few persons can pay tax also on quarterly basis. So which are these people, which are these taxpayers who have to pay on monthly basis, on quarterly basis, you will see when we come to those specific slides. Next important feature of GST is there are different rates of GST that have been recommended and made applicable under GST. Recommended by, of course, GST Council. And which are the rates? The rates of GST is nil, 0.25, 3%, 5%, 12%, 18%, and the topmost rate is 28%. In case of supply within the state, CGST and SGST will be levied 50% each of IGST. So whatever is the IGST, 50% will be of CGST, 50% will be of SGST, especially when it is an intrastate supply. And when it comes to services, a general rate of GST on supply of services is 18%. So these are the standard rates. And when we go to the schedule, we find so many, all the goods and services that are actually categorized based on the HSN number. So there is absolute clarity on what type of goods, what type of services are categorized based on the GST rates. Next important point is the exemption. Exemption is available to some services like healthcare services, educational services, agriculture related services, after primary stage, renting for residential purpose, religious services, etc. So as I said before, not all goods and services are taxable. Certain goods and services are actually declared to be exempted, and category wise, if you have to see, these are the healthcare services, educational services, agricultural services, renting for residential purposes, religious services. This comes under the exemption category. Services by employee to employer, services by the courts, funeral related services are totally excluded from the definition of service. So this is why I am specifically stating one has to know what type of goods and services are liable for GST, which type of services are exempted, which type of services are totally excluded. So when we talk in terms of totally excluded, the GST liability does not exist. Thank you.